Time now for our weekly chat with the experts at ETF.com, the world's leading independent authority on ETFs.
I think we're seeing a different way of ETFs being launched. The real kicker was governance, selling of private data. They really let down their customers repeatedly.
Drew, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Nate. Always a pleasure.
All right, so summer officially kicks off this weekend with Memorial Day, and you and I were batting around some topics offline. We just thought it'd be fun to take a little breather and discuss which of the more prominent ETF stories this year will stay in the limelight and which ones will sort of fizzle away over the summer. And, you know, I thought as a backdrop to that, we should probably start by discussing the current market environment overall, right? Because if you look at how the year began, I mean, ARK ETFs, SPAC ETFs, blockchain, marijuana, all of these areas came screaming out of the gate. We basically picked up right where we left off in the back half of 2020. But since about mid-February, everything has turned. So to begin, I mean, any quick thoughts on what we have seen from the markets over the past few months or even the recent crypto crash, but before we get into specific ETFs?
Well, I think some of it has to do with just market getting way ahead of itself, way ahead of everything. I think a lot of what we saw earlier in the year was a new administration coming in, the idea there's a lot of new things going to happen. You mentioned marijuana, the idea that marijuana was going to be legal suddenly, caught on, and we saw marijuana ETFs blow up. But since then, we've seen cooler heads prevail. We've seen a pullback in the decriminalization legislation going through Congress. It didn't happen overnight, and therefore we've seen a pullback. And all these super high-flying stocks we saw earlier in the year, we got to remember these things had doubled in the 12 months. And I think anybody who's watched markets long enough to know that when something doubles, there's going to be a payback time. And we're slowly starting to see that. But I do think that the economy is just primed to grow. How many people do we know never took a vacation in the last year? And how many people are all taking vacations this year? That alone is a big piece of the economy that was missing. Hospitality, et cetera. Everyone's going out to eat now. There just seems to be the right conditions, you know, for a good economy. I'm not going to say it's going to go hyper, but it just seems that the pieces are in line in America. And that's the caveat. There's still a huge problem internationally with COVID. There's still going to be international travel issues. So we may be a little bit of an isolated oasis in terms of the economy. So that's going to be a factor and maybe something that people aren't really recognizing, that what's happening in the U.S. is not what's really happening around the world.
Yeah, and I think from an investor standpoint, the challenge right now is reconciling that, the fact that the economy is reopening, and we'll just stay here U.S.-centric. Things look pretty good on that front. However, you have these pockets of froth in the market, and some of that froth has obviously come out here recently. But as an investor, I think it can be a little bit difficult when you see SPACs and crypto and some of these other areas. You want to effectively project those onto the broader market and try to draw some conclusions. I'm not so sure that you can do that in this current environment.
I would say in some ways, but I just feel more and more crypto is playing a bigger role in the psychology of the market. And I think that's something that we didn't have 2-3 years ago. Crypto was sort of this, wow, as you see, it went up $10,000 over the last 2 months. But now I think it's something that's in the narrative of the day, for better and for worse, frankly.
I think the interesting angle here is, what if crypto didn't exist? I've sort of hypothesized, has it been a release valve for the market? So in other words, if crypto wasn't here, would there be more speculation in stocks? I think that's an interesting avenue to explore.
Sure. Or you know, would we be talking more about gold? Or would we be talking about, you know, not having SPACs, but having, you know, something else? So, yeah, I mean, what's here and what's now? But I do think that we're in a different setting. Whether people want to acknowledge it or not, crypto plays on the narratives. And right now, I think that the market is just, you know, right probably where it should be. I mean, I think the last 3 months has been a little bit of a cleansing, if you will. And now we're set to roll. And I was just mentioning on TDA Network on Friday, we saw on May 13th a real bounce on a lot of these growth stocks, the ARK funds, you know, the TANs, the IPO ETFs. that they're coming back, and it's not been a snapback. It's been a slow, steady climb, and I think that's what's encouraging. We're seeing it again today. You know, markets are you know, those growth stocks are rebounding, but they're not rebounding quickly. They're slowly grinding up, and it tells me that people are buying dips. People are feeling better about getting in the market, and I think that going forward, I think things are going to be pretty good.
Well, that's a good segue. Let's go rapid fire through a few of these ETF topics. And I guess since we were talking crypto, let's just start there. Blockchain ETFs. So you look at the Amplify Transformational Data Sharing ETF, ticker BLOK. That's still up about 25% on the year, but it's down nearly 30% from its February high. The Bitwise Crypto Industry Innovators ETF, ticker BITQ, that launched on May 11th, probably not the greatest timing with the market. You know, it's already down 10%. But right now, there are six blockchain ETFs altogether. And obviously, these funds are correlated to Bitcoin and crypto prices to varying degrees. So not a huge surprise here in terms of the recent performance. But any quick thoughts on this segment?
Yeah, I think one thing people forgot about with BLOK was back in February, January, we had the launch of NBA Top Shot, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it was the first real application of blockchain in a way that touched mainstream. And, you know, you heard a lot about NBA Top Shot, and this is a new way of collecting, but the backbone was blockchain, and this is a very effective business. It's taking in $50, $100 million a month on blockchain, and you know, moving its product through blockchain. So that was a real application that people saw. How that plant pans out and is, you know, what actually is the backbone to the most successful e-commerce going forward, we'll find out. But I think we're in the early stages, of course, and you know, blockchain is just going to be a part of the market that people are going to either believe in or not. And I don't think these are going to go away. And I don't think launching right now matters. That's not the way people launch ETFs. It doesn't really, unless there's a complete meltdown like we saw a year ago and in April and March, there's really little reason for issuers to pull back on market conditions matched on their theses that they're launching.
One of the reasons the blockchain ETFs exist is because the SEC has been reluctant to approve a Bitcoin ETF. Do you think the recent volatility in Bitcoin, I mean, we saw a 50% drop here recently. It's bouncing around all over the place. Do you think that will impact the SEC's decision-making at all on a Bitcoin ETF?
No, I don't think the volatility surprised anybody. I think the consistent non-stability or non-volatility would surprise people. This is a volatile product. Everybody realizes it. And as soon as you think it's not, it hits you in the face. What I think is going to happen is that this just is going to bring more light to probably the other crypto coins that seem to be more prone to fraud, more prone to manipulation. Obviously, Dogecoin, we're seeing Elon Musk manipulate by the word. Doesn't seem like a very decentralized kind of thing if one person can move the market. But I think the ship sails on, and I think those who want to have a Bitcoin will get their day at some point. Just a matter of time. People are very impatient. And I think when it comes to regulatory issues, a new administration, you know, it's going to be later and sooner, unfortunately.
All right. We mentioned the ARK ETFs earlier, and ARK was obviously the media darling last year, right? The darling of investors as well. But they now have several ETFs in the midst of 30-35% drawdowns from their highs. To me, the big question here is, will ARK investors stay loyal? Like are they going to stick with Cathie Wood no matter what? Or are they going to bail? Now, so far, for the most part, they have stayed with the funds. But I'm curious, as we head towards the back half of the year, what do you think happens here?
I think it's way too early. I mean, we saw these funds, again, they doubled over a year. Did we really think they were going to double again this year and double next year and double next year? It's not that easy. So I also think it's a different type of investor. I think it's an investor that understands what they're getting into, and they understand that these kind of stocks can be, I wouldn't say volatile, but they can be unpredictable. And I think unpredictable on the upside as much as the downside. So I think we're just seeing, you know, just the machinations of the market play out. Things go up, you know, 100%. They're going to come down 50%. It's just the revision of the mean playing out. And I think people believe in Cathie. And I think probably the only instance out there in the ETF world where an active manager is really representing not just a product, but the entire company. And this kind of, you know, goes back to the old days of Peter Lynch and Bill Gross. So maybe we're seeing that come back. And I think a personality in the ETF that stands behind her products is transparent. Boy, that's some fresh air.
And what's amazing here is, and I know a lot of this was back in January and February, but you look at the eight ARK ETFs, they've taken in something like $15, $16 billion this year. You know, that despite several ETFs, as I mentioned, dropping 30 to 35%. I mean, that to me... Go ahead.
People aren't looking at the – I mean, it kind of frustrates you. We can look at the accordion time slice any way we want and make it sound good, bad, or whatever. And I think people with long-time horizons aren't looking at what just happened in 3 months. Certainly there are plenty are doing that. But I think the real hardcore investor in these ARK funds are true believers. And will they stay with her forever? Of course not. If things continue to go south, people will eventually leave. But I think – a story going through the next 3, 4, or 5 months really will be watching just the whole growth area of these ETFs and stocks, obviously, that have been driving the bull market. And I think it was Kathy Wood said today, that this transition from growth to value is actually helping the bull market. It's going to provide the next leg because the growth is going to come back, and that's where she's seeing it. So it's going to, like I said, the next 3, 4 months will be fun to watch what's going on in the overall market, how it affects ARK, and whether or not investors stick with that.
All right, a few minutes left here. Continuing with our rapid fire, let's get to a couple more areas, SPAC ETFs. So if I look at the SPAC and new issue ETF ticker, SPCX, this thing is up nearly 10% for the year, but again, like some of the other categories we're talking about, down 12, 13% from its high. The Defiance Next Gen SPAC-derived ETF, ticker SPAK, that's down over 30% from its high, down about 15% for the year. And I think right now there are, what, 4 long-only SPAC-related ETFs, if I'm not mistaken. Do you think these ETFs will have staying power, or do you think the SPAC boom is over?
No, I don't.
You don't?
I don't think they will. These are, sort of an IPO that nobody understands. And I think it was one of the things that came out quickly. There was, DraftKings and a couple big names went public through the SPAC structure. And frankly, I think it was sort of a one-hit wonder, and the idea that SPAC is going to be this new thing that everybody gravitates toward, I don't think so. I think it's going to be there. I think it's a nice option for companies to go public, but I don't think as an investor, much less it doesn't have any mass appeal. But who knows? I could be wrong.
By the way, I'm not sure if you saw this, but Tuttle Capital, they actually launched a short DSPAC ETF last week, ticker SOGU. So obviously that will do well if post-merger SPACs continue to fall. They also launched a long version as well.
Well, that's the beauty of the market. And I always said, why hasn't there been a short Bitcoin ETF using futures? You can short Bitcoin all day long if you want. Nobody ever talks about that. So again, if you don't believe something's going to happen, we'll short it. Well, here comes a fund that does it. And again, the beauty of the ETF toolkit, something comes along to help you do what you want.
All right. One other area I want to quickly touch on, and you alluded to this earlier, cannabis ETFs. And again, if I look at something like the ETFMG Alternative Harvest ETF, ticker MJ, largest pod ETF, that was up over 200% from November 1st into mid-February. But since that time, that ETF is down 40%. And I know you spend a lot of time covering cannabis and in the pod ETF space. I mean, any thoughts on what's going on here? Is this what you were speaking to earlier, just in terms of the political landscape, things not moving as quickly?
Yeah, I think it's a classic story of buy the rumor, sell the news. All through the fall and up until the administration, the idea was like, as soon as the Biden administration gets in, one of the first things they're going to do is decriminalize marijuana. It's going to open up capital markets to cannabis companies, and it's going to allow retail to flourish, pardon the pun. But that didn't happen, and it's not going to happen quickly. And there's also a little bit different air in the political spectrum here, is that they don't get decriminalization through in the next 18 months, perhaps, or we're going to be looking at the midterm elections. And not to get all politically here, but there is a very thin margin on the House. I think it's less than 10 seats. So if we have a switch in midterms to where the House goes Republican, obviously that's going to be DOA, and we're going to see these pot ETFs tumble. So there is going to be kind of an interesting 18 months with marijuana ETFs in terms of, is this decriminalization actually going to happen? Schumer has pushed it, but has also pulled back on it. It's not on a docket anywhere to be discussed in Congress. And we're in the summer. We're about to go to recess. Next thing you know, we're going to be in 2022.
Well, and I think an interesting ETF angle here, and we've talked about this in the past, there is a lot of ETF competition in this space. And while just about all of those ETFs have decent assets, they've been healthy, if you do get some sort of shakeout in the market here, I just wonder how many of those survive longer term, because again, just a lot of competition.
It's a novelty thing too. I mean, the idea of legal marijuana in 2017 was this, you know, perhaps this brand new business field for everybody in the world. But I think that the idea of, legal marijuana, that novelty has faded. It's going to be along the lines of tobacco and alcohol. So I think there's again, the time is of the essence, I think, for pot ETFs. And, you know, to be long and forget about pot ETFs is to your peril in the next 2 years, in my opinion.
All right, Drew, before I let you go, if you had to pick an ETF story or two that you think might get a bunch of headlines in the second half of the year, any good candidates for a new shiny object, or are you going to go with one of the areas we just talked about?
Neither really. I mean, I really don't know what, I mean, I could pretend like I want to know what kind of products should come out there, but I really don't know. It's a business. It's not a fantasy. One thing I think I'm kind of surprised it hasn't happened, I think maybe the pandemic had something to do with it, is further consolidation when it comes to ETF issuers. Invesco has just wrapped up its multi-year acquisitions of Guggenheim and Oppenheimer. And it's sitting pretty nicely. That merger has gone well. They've had to call the herd of some of the ETFs. But now, you know, they're in a very strong position as the fourth largest ETF issuer, I believe, in the world. So, you know, that's sort of a model that's out there. I think Schwab is growing radically quickly in ways that nobody's paying attention to. I think they could be out there looking for smaller issuers. And that's when I mean consolidation. There's so many mid-tiers. I'll give you an example. You know, you're talking about the block ETF, and you're talking about some of these marijuana ETFs. There's a Jets ETF. There's a lot of – somebody could go shopping and pick up some pretty hot and money-making ETFs singularly rather than just buying companies. And that's typically what they do in Silicon Valley. Google's buying up every AI company that touches ground there, it seems. So I wonder if that's going to happen. And then, of course, I always look at BlackRock and think, what are they thinking is going to happen in 5 years? So I would keep an eye on BlackRock, just whatever they're thinking of. They're the market leader in so many ways. And the idea that I think some of these mid-tier ETFs are healthy enough, have enough AUM, that some of the, I think, the larger ETF issuers at some point, it's easier to buy it than build it. And scaling is what this industry is all about. And it seems like we need another scale up as fees go down.
Well, Drew, great stuff this week. Always appreciate the time. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Nate. It's always been a pleasure being on.
That was ETF.com's Drew Voros.